Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's time to name the neglect from typical food advice. Welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast, hosted by me, Julie Duffy Dillon. I'm a registered dietitian with 20 years of experience partnering with folks just like you on their food peace journey. What have we learned? Well, cookie cutter approaches exclude too many people, and you don't need to be fixed. It's not you. It's not me. It's all of us. Only together we can start a movement and fix diet culture. And we will. Let's begin with now. Hey there, welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and partner on your food peace journey. Welcome to episode 278, where I'm going to be chatting with Yelly Cruz. Yelly is a production assistant for the Find Your Food Voice podcast, and she's been working with me for about 6 or 7 months now. And she is someone that is a bibliophile. She is super into books and suggested that we start to include book reviews as a part of the show. So the first book we read was Get a Life, Chloe Brown. I had to think about it for a second. Get a Life, Chloe Brown, which you can see in a previous episode. We'll link it in the show notes for you here. And this is our second book. And this second book is Belly of the Beast by Deshaun Harrison. This book, as you are going to hear in our conversation, was really influential to Yelly and me for similar reasons, different reasons. Can't wait for you to hear what we have to say about it. If you do read the book, and you'll hear, we really want you to read the book, let us know your thoughts. Find us on Instagram at foodvoicerd and let us know your thoughts. But before we get to my conversation with Yelly about Belly of the Beast by Deshaun Harrison, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast is brought to you by PCOS Power. PCOS Power is the new course that I have developed for those of you affected by PCOS and wanting to divorce that dumpster fire that is your PCOS diet. There is another way. If you're listening to this episode when it's released, you have 2 more days to join the program before the opportunity to join will end. Because it's a new program, I want to make sure that we take care of you along the way. There's like many moving parts. And usually with my course, I have open enrollment whenever, because I just think that's like the best way to do it. And for right now, just to make sure my team and I don't end up being like having to rush and chaotic and drop things, we've decided to just have an open and close kind of cart situation. So if this is not the right time, just know that we will offer another time soon. We just don't know when yet, but I will make sure that you are kept in the loop. But if you are wanting to join, now is the time until March 10th. So you can go to juliedillonrd.com to get details on PCOS Power. I wanted to share some information from Brooke. Brooke uses pronouns she, her, and Brooke had the chance to take the beta round of PCOS Power, and she gave me some feedback, and she said, "What a relief to learn ways to manage PCOS that actually work. Julie is so compassionate when moving through the material, and her passion and expertise for helping navigate PCOS is apparent. This program was a game changer for me." I am so glad, Brooke, that these were tools that you found helpful. And something that I believe, living with PCOS or just being a person on this planet, is that you are the one who gets to decide which tools work and which ones don't. And so having experience over the last 20 years with people with PCOS, I have gathered a lot of tools and I want to share them with you. And I am so glad, Brooke, that the ones I shared were helpful for you. So again, if you are interested in joining, you have two more days to do that. Go to juliedillonrd.com and you'll get to all the details about PCOS Power.
Did you know that every time you listen to an ad on this podcast, you help cover the cost of producing Find Your Food Voice? Thank you to our sponsor, Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. Because of them, my team and I can continue our independent podcast. Equilibria is a women-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and back, my mind and body back into harmony. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. It also promotes optimal vaginal pH. These probiotics were chosen because they are studied for women's health. And I love that you can subscribe. So if you find that Equilibria's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense helps you, you can subscribe so you don't have to think twice about running out and also save 25% off. I just started taking the Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense after a trip overseas that made my GI tract kind of funky. I am hoping that it helps make things just a little bit easier, easing back in. And also, as a woman in midlife, I am always looking for ways to help with vaginal pH. If you are not in midlife yet, just be aware, it's a thing that is around the corner for you. So head to myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, let's get back to the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Yelly. Thanks for coming on to discuss Belly of the Beast.
Hi, Julie. I'm excited. I was reading through this, and as I was reading, I was like, this could literally be like an hour-long episode. There's just so much good stuff in this book.
Honestly, I have a feeling it could be something like... Okay, so this is just me. maybe someone else can relate to this. But I need to do some like unpacking, talking, thinking, feeling, and then I need to do that again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And so like it could be something that we can spend the next like year or two on. Absolutely. I have a feeling.
I agree.
And it's only 10-20 pages. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing what's packed in here. Yeah. Well, why don't you introduce Belly of the Beast to the listener and we'll get started that way.
Yes, I guess. So maybe to give some context to the book, I was first introduced to it because I worked on She's All Fat, and at She's All Fat, we are obsessed with Deshawn, and they used to write articles about the themes in the book. And last year they put all their thoughts together in a book. So I will read kind of the back of it to like lay some groundwork for us. So the blurb on the back is, to live in a body, both fat and black, is to exist at the margins of a society that creates the conditions for anti-fatness and anti-black, as anti-blackness, pardon me. Hyper-policed by state and society, passed over for housing and jobs, and derided and misdiagnosed by medical professionals, fat black people in the United States are subject to socio-politically sanctioned discrimination, abuse, condensation. Did I say that correctly? Condescension. There we go. And trauma. Deshawn Harrison, a fat, black, disabled, and non-binary trans writer, offers an incisive, fresh, and precise exploration of anti-fatness as anti-blackness, foregrounding the state-sanctioned murders of fat, black men and trans and non-binary masculine people in historical analysis, policing, disenfranchisement, and invisibilizing of fat black men and trans and non-binary masculine people are pervasive, insidious ways that anti-fat, anti-blackness shows up in everyday life, taking on desirability politics, the limitations of gender, the connection between anti-fatness and carcerality, and the incongruity of health and healthiness for the black fat. Harrison viscerally and vividly illustrates the myriad harms of anti-fat, anti-blackness. They offer strategies for dismantling denial, unlearning the cultural programming that tells us fat is bad, and destroying the world as we know it so the black fat can inhabit a place not built on their subjugation. Even just there, there's so much.
So much. So much in this like 100 pages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like even the words on here. I had to look up some words as I was reading. You have a much better vocabulary than I do, Yelly. But like for me, I had to look up many words just to be like, oh, okay, now I understand.
Yes. Well, like I don't know about you, but there's so much underlined in my book, like so many notes and little thoughts.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, and as we were deciding to have this as a book discussion on the show, I had already read through it once, but it was really just like reading through it without thinking about ever like actually verbalizing anything. So I read through it again, and I'm glad I did because I got more out of it the second time. And I have a feeling there's just a bazillion things I did not even begin to unpack and understand. Like it's going to be something that, like I said, I'm like, there's going to be a lot of processing that I need to experience to actually fully kind of take in. So where should we start? I mean, this is a big one.
Do you have any like general impressions about the book as you were reading it the second time? You already kind of mentioned it, but was there anything that stood out to you maybe that didn't stand out to you the first time?
Yes. And I will preface this with, before I even read it, period, I had heard Deshawn Harrison's interview. Like, I believe there was two interviews on She's All Fat. Mm-hmm. And then read some of their work before and follow them on Instagram. And so I was already aware of a little bit of kind of the message, or I was already kind of connecting with some of the message. So when I started reading it, especially because the first time I think I just read it so fast just to read it to read it. And then when I read it the second time, I was like, I'm really gonna like let it come in. And the first impression I had was that it was just jumping right in. Like there was no sugarcoating. There was no, I'm going to ease into this. It's like, I'm going to give it to you, like straight from the hip here. And I felt challenged. And I also, I don't know if this will make sense, and hopefully it will by the end of this conversation, but like, I also felt like softened in some points, which I'm guessing that feeling has to do with like, moving away from like as a white person from dehumanizing, hopefully to more like appreciating a person as a human. But I don't know, like that's what I'm guessing that is. But there was definitely tears the second time that I read this. And I mean, it's kind of classic white lady tears, I think. But I also think some of it was like some of that kind of softness that I was connecting to, which again, I think it was like basic humanity, you know, and in a way it feels like icky to even admit that. But like, as a white person, I know that there's like so much racism built into my like DNA that like, why the hell am I going to like deny it? Like, that seems really silly and like a big lie. And when I think about too, like whenever I have like connected to my own racism, the thing that when I can like picture back in those moments in time, there's always been like an emotional kind of like, I don't know if triggering is the right word, probably not, but just like some kind of like jolt or movement. And the first time was when I was 5 years old, and I said a word that I heard someone else say and didn't even know what the word meant, but I was saying it because I thought it was cool. And my mom let me know that word, what it meant, and like how I was never to say it again. And I haven't, you know? And, but I remember like crying and crying and crying. And so as I was crying, I was like, is this, like, what is this? And I'm like, I wonder if it's making that movement again. Which, I mean, I'm really grateful that anyone can give me that in a book, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my first like general impression, like overview experience. I'm so curious what you think or what your experience was too.
Yes. I think that a lot of it is, for me, reading it was putting words to like observations and thoughts and feelings that obviously like I already had through like working on She's All Fat and like just the general like spaces that I inhabit in the world. I think that what really stood out to me the first and the second time about reading this is just like Deshaun talks about this like concept of the beyond, which is like a place, he says, or they say, a place in which we live without qualifiers, conditions, or labels meant to harm our being. And I feel like that is just such a, it's like such a radical thought, and a thought that like a lot of people don't, we talk about dismantling systems, right? And like dismantling the systems that are in our world. But something that Deshaun talks about a lot in their book is the fact that dismantling the systems aren't enough, or it isn't enough if like the thoughts and the feelings are still around. So for example, like the example that Deshaun gives is like abolition, prison abolition, and police abolition isn't enough if white supremacy is still around, because what's to say that it won't just be recreated as another system? And like, that is something that I think I had never heard somebody just put into words that plainly and that outspokenly. And that I think that, and like the idea of this beyond, of a place like truly just without any of the labels and the systems and that harm, that really moved me the first time that I read it, and the second time as well. And just like, this book amps me up every time I read it, because I'm like, yeah, like, let's do it. Let's, obviously, you know, who knows what we need to do to get to that place. But like, even though it's a very heavy book and talks about a lot of heavy things, that note in it is very hopeful and like motivational, or like, for me, just in terms of like motivating me to act.
Yeah, the beyond. The beyond is really significant to even have a name for it for me. And, you know, part of how this book has influenced how I am like just living my life, but also in the many different parts. Like one of them is like this, on this podcast, and as a dietitian and someone that's helping people to like move away from diet culture. There's many like tools, like intuitive eating, health at every size, things like that, that we all have used and relied on. And there's been talk in my field about like how there are things that are broken with these tools, and it's so hard to conceptualize my work without those tools. And something that I'm trying to be okay with, and I just have to be, is that like there's not going to be like this like script to follow, solution, alternative, because of everything you just said. And it's not going to be built by me. I'll support who's ever going to be building it. I guess what I'm saying is like people who are in the most of the most oppressed by these systems, this beyond needs to be, and maybe I'm even taking it too much into like the sameness, but like, I don't think, diet culture was built by white people. So like, I don't think whatever the alternative or whatever the beyond is can't be built by the same people, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That's a good segue into a question that I don't necessarily have an answer for or like a clear answer for, but you might, because you've been doing this for a long time, of like, what does this book add to the Hayes intuitive eating conversation? Or like what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's my question.
Yeah. So honestly, when I was first going through the table of contents, it's pretty obvious what each chapter is about based on the name of the table of contents. And there's one that talks about health. Well, what's referenced is the O word epidemic. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to jump right to that one. Like, I remember thinking like, oh, let me just read that one first. And because it feels really familiar and cozy. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do that. Harrison has provided us this map and I'm going to follow their map. Like, I'm going to do it the way that they intended it to be read. And I'm so glad I did, because really getting to a place of appreciating the harm of current like healthcare systems, I had to really get to some bigger things, like the chapter on desire, even what the concept of the beast, like that, how whiteness has like developed that as a way to dehumanize, as Deshaun Harrison says, fat black people. And so if I didn't really read through those things, then I don't think I could really appreciate the discussions when it comes to healthcare. And it really connected the dots on how like the healthcare system is just another like policing system, and like connecting all the dots to like colonization and slavery, policing, and Karen's asking for the manager, like how they're all interwoven, and how like me as a dietitian trained to put a person on a diet, how that all is expertly designed to keep someone in their place, or to try to like keep someone in their place. And it just really helped paint a picture. I know it helped you feel hopeful, but I think for me, I need to not feel hopeful. Like I need to feel like, oh my gosh, this is bad. This is really bad. And that's what I remember connecting a lot with. I think that was some of the tears was in the softness of like, oh my gosh, like all of this like skeleton that we've been like relying on, it's not going to do it. It's just going to keep making it fucked up. And I'm going to pause there, because I want to dive into another part, but I want to hear what you think about that, or like, I don't know, like if what you thought about the healthcare discussion in the book.
Yes, I thought that I liked how you said that you were following the map that Deshaun laid down, because that's so true. That I think that the book would feel very different if chapters were in other orders. So yeah, I'm just kind of still thinking about that. But I think that something that really stood out to me that they wrote is that people are like taught that the way they feel about their bodies is their own moral failing. Mm. And I think that is something that we, in our journey from, you know, like being entrenched in diet culture to like body positivity, body liberation, all of these kind of stepping stones in whatever journey you're on. I feel like that is something that almost everybody I know that I've spoken to has to reckon with. Or even like you said about the fact that you're sitting in this place where you just kind of like have to feel angry and have to feel bad about the fact that all of these things are working together. Like, and you've talked about it before on the podcast as well, is that like, it's just such a crucial step to me to like knowing that these things are there and feeling your feelings and feeling angry and sad and unlearning that moral failing aspect of it, because I feel like that is such a strong pillar in diet culture and the healthcare system and all of these systems, is that like if you can't function in them, it's your own moral wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the way that it keeps change from happening to help people be safe is like splitting us all apart into these individuals, you know, and really distracting us from really the big issue, you know. And yeah, it doesn't feel good to feel like this sucks and like this isn't working and I'm a part of that. Like that,
yeah.
I just name that, like that doesn't feel good. And there's a lot of like training into body positivity that I think has led us to believe that we're going to feel good. And that's one of the biggest lies, is that it's not going to be feeling good. It's really being aware of our feelings and finding a way to sit with them and tolerate them as much as we can. So then we can focus on really what is happening and like staying in reality as much as possible. But it really is uncomfortable. And I can appreciate, you know, people who are not willing to let go or not willing to see things differently. Why? Because that feels really, it just feels like a lot. But it's also like those who experience more privilege, I think that's like what you need to do. It's like our duty, you know, like it's time to, if you're really wanting to do this work, let's do this. Let's contribute in the way that we need to. And, you know, I've been against dieting for a long time. Like it's been over 20 years now, but I really appreciate how this book was able to help me appreciate how the push to lose weight is just another way to police and control a human being, especially a fat Black human being. Yeah. And you know, this book, that part of also why it's so important is because of how it actually is talking specifically fat, Black, masculine. Like those are identities that are so neglected in the conversation when it comes to like food, eating disorders, any of those things. It just, that's just not something that really we tend to focus on. So yeah.
Totally. Well then, also jumping off of that, I think that it's important to note as well that in the book there's Deshaun talks about like the direct connection between anti-fatness and how that interacts with policing and specifically police brutality. And there's a chapter where they really break down the narratives around these like large Black men that have been murdered by police, and the fact that them being large and being portrayed as people, or like, I guess not even people, they're like dehumanized in many ways. And a lot of the ways that they're dehumanized is through being portrayed as large and fat, and also the connection between that image and then people believing that Black men can take on more pain than they should have to, and that they are actually able to, and just all of those. Deshaun says it a lot more eloquently than I do, but a lot of those threads are things that I hadn't really woven together until I read the book. And I think just such a, one of the biggest things that I took away from it.
That was the most important chapter for me. Like if I had to pick one, That's when that kind of like softness, like that part of me like revealed itself of like where I could feel a shift happening. And that's why I feel like I think it was the most important one this go around. Because it really, again, the name is Belly of the Beast. I mean, it really helped me to appreciate how that description of like an animal or a beast, how that was so intentional to help dehumanize. And so then centuries later, people who are killing Black men and fat Black men can get away with it or not even being known because of how this has been so expertly crafted over centuries. And I didn't connect fatness with the police brutality, except for Eric Garner. That was the only one that I had really connected with that. And so I feel really grateful that all of the narratives were spelled out, not all of them, but for many of the murders spelled out. So then I could better see all of that. You know, I needed, I think, someone to actually like go through that, like, okay, this one and this one and this one. And then also adding two murders were people who were younger, 18 and 12, and how the fatness and Blackness, there's an assumption of being older. Again, I think that was like the most important and like chapter that moved me, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And something that I think maybe this will be a good like way to kind of close this is like this book has a lot of importance in the health at every size community, the intuitive eating kind of community, anti-diet community. I know we've talked a little bit about it, but you know, something that people have talked a lot about is the need to like totally get rid of a health at every size. Have you heard like whisperings of that? Mm-hmm. Maybe not even whisperings, but just yellings. Yeah. Like that's something that in conversations, a lot of people are talking about and many people are opinionated about it. And over the last couple years, you know, as I've talked to other people who have not felt seen, heard, or who have been harmed by health at every size, kind of like, not necessarily like the movement, but maybe it is, but like just never really felt at home there. As I've listened to more of that, I can appreciate why, like, yeah, I think we just need to start over. And then I say we, and that I would be like, I want to support whatever is built, but I don't think white hands need to be building it, you know, because that's where we fucked up. So I don't know if you have any reaction on that, but that was another part of this book that I could, it was like funneling into that area for me. I don't know if it did for you.
Yes, I think that, I have so many thoughts. I think that something to kind of ground it, to bring it back to health at every size, I think that's something that I still see missing in a lot of conversations about intuitive eating and health at every size. And just in that sphere is the fact that health isn't morally good, or like being unhealthy is not morally bad. If that makes sense. Or like when I hear people talking about, oh, like you can be fat and still be healthy, a part of me goes, okay, but like, what if like you can also just be fat and just be, you know, like we're still portraying this narrative that it's okay to be fat as long as you're striving for health, as opposed to you are just allowed to be fat because you're a human being. And as a human being, you inherently, you know, deserve respect. And yeah, I think that, I think that as somebody who is kind of on the outside of the health at every size community, I think that that is my biggest bone to pick with it as well, is that I think that, in the same sense that like body positivity is, kind of a step removed from body liberation in terms of like the like body liberation is a lot more radical. I think that health at every size is a good stepping stone on the way to another plane where we should be, which I also agree that white hands and, you know, like straight sized hands and like just the hands that have been building all of these systems don't necessarily need to be building the next place that we end up in. But yeah.
Like, I really feel the call to like stay out of the way, you know, and something that I know I have voiced before and colleagues and other people doing this work is like, wow, like health at every size was something that rescued me and other people who could relate to that, like rescued me from diet culture. And it was a way, it's been a way for a lot of people to heal and reject diet culture and unite. But what, you know, people have like shared with me and then also reading in Deshaun Harrison's book was like, but it hasn't been like that for Black folks. And even the discussion in this book about health, how health was designed to make it unattainable for fat and Black people. Like, it just wasn't, it's not something that can happen because it was built to keep a person out, you know? And so it's like, it's not even possible. So like, why are we even like valuing that? And so, yeah, like it needs, we need to start over. And for a while I was like, okay, well then what do I rely on? And I know I was kind of thinking or discussing this earlier too, but that was really stressful for some time of like, okay, so then if I don't rely on health at every size, like what is it? And that's the part where I, like, there's just going to be flailing for a while, like as something else is able to come, which there may not be a foundation like I'm imagining, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just where I need to be okay. And that's part of why like this show has shifted to be so much less about like an individual and more about like, let's look outside of ourselves, because like, I just don't think that like a person can recover from diet culture just by like their mindset. Like, it just seems so like funny to me. I'm like, what was I thinking? So do you have any final thoughts before we kind of move on to conclude?
I guess my only final thought is that I just think that everybody should buy and read the book, because there just really is absolutely no doing it justice in any like I cannot do it justice in my own words just from talking about it for any length of time. So definitely buy the book and read it. And there's like so much that we didn't even get to touch on.
So much in the 100 pages. I agree. And it's going to be out in audio format in February. So by the time you're listening to this, there's already a way to get it that way. Yes, get this book. And there's been a few books that have been super important for me in understanding like my own like racist kind of foundation and my whiteness. And this is like on that list now, because like, it was, I don't know if you've read Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, and then Hunger by Roxane Gay. Those were two books that have been really important to me. And now this one as well. So super grateful. And thank you for choosing it for this discussion. I'm like so grateful that I had a chance to discuss this with you. After I finished reading it again, I texted I have a text thread that my friends and I call the Alliance. Mm-hmm. And we are just a group of moms that started to connect during COVID. And it's a very diverse group of people, some people who are going to city council meetings, some people who are teachers and like really hands-on. And this is a topic that needs to be included in that. So I texted them and said, this is on our agenda to read this book. So I hope you read it, listener, and invite discussion in your community as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks, Yelly. Take care.
Bye.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Yelly Cruz about the book Belly of the Beast by Deshaun Harrison. I also hope you connected with like how important this book was to the two of us, and consider reading or listening to it yourself. If you do, find us over on Instagram. My Instagram handle is foodvoicerd. Tag us and let us know, or send us a message. We are hoping to continue the conversation. Like we said, there's just so much to really sift through, and that needs to be tended to and sifted through. So we want to continue this conversation, and looking forward to hearing what you have to say. If you enjoyed this episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast, well, we are really glad. And if you would not mind leaving us a rating, a review, subscribed, or sharing an episode to someone who you think may enjoy it too. Doing any of those things really helps the show grow. It helps more people find us. So thank you so much in advance. This episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast was brought to you by my PCOS Power course. That's going to be coming out March 1st. And if you would like to get on the wait list, grab the PCOS Roadmap if you have not yet. It'll give you the first three steps toward food peace with PCOS. And it's only the first three steps. There are so many more. And I cannot wait to share with you PCOS Power coming out March 1st. All right. Like I said, this was a really important conversation, and we hope that it just got things started for you if you have not read this book yet. But let us know what your thoughts are. Tag us on Instagram, and let's keep the conversation going. Bye for now. Take care.
Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Ready to join the anti-diet movement and take the Food Voice Pledge? Go to julieduffydillon.com and sign your name to the growing list of people saying no to diets and yes to their own food voice. The Find Your Food Voice podcast is produced by me, Julie Duffy Dillon, and my team of kick-ass folks. I couldn't make the show without Yelly Cruz, assistant producer and resident book fiend, and Colleen Bremner, customer service coordinator and professional hype master. Audio editing is from Toby Lyles at 24 Sound. Music is Fly Free by Hartley. Are you looking for episode transcripts? Get them at julieduffydillon.com, where you can also submit letters for the podcast, give us feedback, and sign the Food Voice Pledge. We need your voice to end diet culture. We literally can't do this without you. Subscribe to the Find Your Food Voice podcast to get weekly inspiration and education on how we can defeat diet culture and reclaim our own food voice. I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Take care.